This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
There he is, Sir Elton John. Last night, of course, was the world premiere of his film in Cannes.
Yes.
And Sir Elton John, he sobbed last night after the world premiere of his soul-bearing biopic, Rocket Man in Cannes. The star was in tears as he left with hubby David Furnish. Yeah, so emotional for him.
I'm looking forward to it. Seeing the film.
Yeah.
No, I am.
Are you looking forward to it?
Well,
yeah.
You know I love Elton.
I'm a big Elton fan.
Yeah.
I just, you know, think...
Okay, well, you know. Wasn't a lover, really, of Bohemian Rhapsody, was you? And I thought it was
no.
a fantastic film.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
You know, and I thought it was a fantastic film.
He was phenomenal. The casting was phenomenal.
No, the only reason why you didn't like it is because the facts weren't there.
And I'm like, do you know what? How do I buy into this if I know it's wrong? Mm. That's where I, you know, had a little steward's inquiry on it.
Okay, all right.
But the performances were good.
Yeah, okay. Listen, we're talking about Sunderland, Portsmouth last night. Sunderland got through, which we had a good chat about this yesterday, John, didn't we? Because we said Sunderland, a huge club, and they deserve,
I'd like to see
you know, they deserve to be back where they were. They've got to climb a couple of leagues to be back where they were, but there you go. Yeah. We're joined now by James Hunter, Sunderland writer for The Chronicle, The Journal and The Sunday Sun. Only just scraped through, James, but done what they needed to do.
Yeah, that was the important thing. they held the advantage, obviously, after the first leg, single goal advantage. So as long as they didn't slip up in this second leg at Fratton Park, they were on the way to Wembley. It wasn't a great game, but it didn't need to be. You know, the important point was that they went into the match knowing that they were one clean sheet away from Wembley, and that was the key thing. And to be honest with you, it was relatively comfortable. It wasn't really one of those games where Portsmouth were throwing the kitchen sink at them. You know.
Well, did you think that some of them probably went into that game kind of thinking, look, let's try and really defend our lead, you know, and not try and go forward and try and score too many goals. Let's just, you know, clam up a bit and keep them at bay. Did you think that was part of the plan?
Well, you'd think that, but Sunderland's defence has probably been one of their weak points this season. You know, they haven't kept many clean sheets, so I think that would have been a bad game plan to go there and try and sit back and hope to hang on. I think they had to go there and play. I think it just the way that the game panned out meant that Portsmouth didn't have that many chances. I think that's partly because they didn't perform in the way that they can, and partly because Sunderland, you know, didn't allow them to perform.
Yeah.
With just a couple of good saves from Sunderland keeper John McLaughlin, as I say, it was comfortable enough in the end.
What do you think going forward? How do you feel? I mean, if you go up. How do you think you'll fare?
Well, if they go up into the Championship, this squad would need a lot of work doing to it. It was built with getting out of League One in mind, so it would need a lot of money, a lot of investment. I think probably the owners, Stuart Donald and Charlie Methven, who came in last summer, have spoken constantly about needing to bring in more investment in terms of a partner, somebody else to add to the board. If the club was promoted to the Championship, and I think that will be the way forward, because I'm not so convinced that the resources are there as it stands to make Sunderland into a competitive force in the Championship, which is, you know, hellishly expensive.
Yeah, and who do you fancy in the final?
Well, you know, the romance option is always Charlton. You know, a replay of that 1998. Playoff final at Wembley, you know, the 4-4 and the penalty shootout drama.
You don't want that again, though, do you? No. You want to be a bit easier than that.
Yeah, well, you know, you would think that Doncaster would be the preferred option in the final, but you can just never tell. I've just been writing here, you know, that the whole 61-game season, you know, boils down to one game a week on Sunday, so you can never really tell what's going to happen. But I think, you know, the romantic. I think at the start of the season, when people saw Sunderland kick off the League One campaign against Charlton, there was just a feeling that that the two sides were going to be bound up in this season together, and it may well end up that way.
Yeah. What about this bit of a strange set of circumstances with a Luke? So he was punched by a Portsmouth supporter during it, during the game. Did you see that?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't good to see. Obviously, I could see that something was going on the far side, and Lee Cattermole was obviously agitated about something. And I've seen the replays back of it, and you can see Luke O'Neill goes over the advertising boards into the crowd, and there's some kind of disturbance in there involving a Portsmouth fan.
Yeah.
I have to say that there was a steward on the scene, you know, within a minute or so, and then there was a couple of policemen appeared, and a fan appeared to be taken out of the ground. And just judging by what's been said since, Jack Ross didn't want to make a big deal about it. He was keen to say, you know, there's 18,000 fans there. Let's not let one. Let one idiot spoil it for everybody. Yeah. And I think I've read this morning that Luke O'Neill was asked by the police if he wanted to press any charges, and he's declined to do so. So, yeah. we'll see what happens from here.
He says that his little cousin's hit harder than that. So
really,
yeah.
Do you know what? It was according to it came about according to teammate Lee Cattermole. You would have thought that Lee Cattermole would have jumped in the crowd and at least two-footed someone, wouldn't you?
Well, I would have known where my odds would. I don't know where my money would have gone had it have come down to a fight between Lee Cattermole and the gentleman in the Portsmouth end. But thankfully, it didn't come to that. You know, it's just one of those things that we don't need to see in football, and
we don't.
You know, hopefully that's going to be an end to that matter.
Do you know what? I like seeing Lee Cattermole because he's one of those. He's the only one who tucks his shirt in and pulls his shorts up really high, like a bit like Stuart Pearce used to do. You know, it's like. It's like I'm ready for business, you know. You sort of, when he walks on the pitch, you know what you're going to get with him, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's fiercely competitive. He's a very, very good, honest guy. I think he's been at Sunderland 10 years now. He's the longest serving player here, and he's had some tough times as Sunderland have had over the last 7 or 8 years. He's had some tough times at Sunderland, but he's really been the heartbeat of the team this season. And should Sunderland get back to the Championship via the playoff final, you know, he will have played a massive part in that.
Do you think that we're missing players like that, James? Because we've been talking about it for a few weeks now, especially with teams like Arsenal. There's not a player that, you know, since Aaron Ramsey's leaving, someone like Lee Cattermole, like you say, he's been there 10 years. There's not a lot of players stay around and they're the core of that team.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, you know, we used to have this, you know, relatively regularly, didn't you? You used to see players have testimonial games and spend 10 years at a club. And you think of one club men like Ryan Giggs at Manchester United. That seems to have gone out of fashion. Players move around a lot more. The squads are constantly refreshed and revived. They're a bit of a dying breed now. And that's a bit sad to see, really, because I think fans tend to identify with a player, particularly if it's a homegrown player that's come through the ranks and stayed there long term.
In fact, we had Teddy Sheringham on last week, and Ted was quite vocal in the fact that there's not a lot of clubs now with a core of English or British players running through them. You know, when he was at, obviously, United and Spurs, there was a core of British players that would sort of, let's say, socialise together, and they played for the team. And I think it's lacking in quite a few teams where players are in there for a season, two seasons, and they're bombed out. So it's nice to see someone like Lee Cattermole sort of still being there after 10 years and, you know, keeping the spirit going, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, at the top level, at Premier League level, it's very uncommon. I think you look at the number of players from all across the world that are in the top sides. So that has changed a lot. Obviously, the lower down you go in League One and League Two, there's more of a homegrown English core of players, if you like. If you think about those great Arsenal teams, you know, in the early days of the Arsene Wenger era, that they were notable for blending the sort of continental flair and genius of the French players that he had at that time, the Thierry Henrys, etc., with that very hard core of the famous Arsenal defence, weren't they? And that
Arsenal
worked really well as a balance.
Arsenal! Eric Morgan, wasn't he?
Oh,
do you
all
remember?
Right.
He used to go, Arsenal!
Frighten the life out of me. I don't know what he did used to do that, Eric Morgan.
Everyone says Arsenal. Yeah. I go, Arsenal!
Yeah, well, you shouldn't do that. You just frightened James there.
Sorry, James.
James, just while you're on, we're doing a, it's not really for you, this one, but we're doing an Elton John theme.
Yeah.
Obviously, because Watford are in the cup final tomorrow, and we just want anyone to just come along and try and do something against Man City. What's your favourite Elton John song?
Favourite Elton John song, Crawl. That's a tricky one. Probably Saturday Night's Alright for Fighting, I guess.
Oh, like that. We're going to try and get Dave Producer for a little bit of Saturday Night.
Yes, we're going to have that, yeah.
It's
That's
fantastic.
A good choice, that. No one's chose that one, have they?
No one. Not since we've done a couple of Elton John things. No one's had that.
No, I love that. There's a good choice.
Great lyrics in that, by the way.
Oh.
James, thanks ever so much, mate, and good luck to Sunderland. We do hope they get promoted because they're a big club and they should be back in the top flight.
Here we go. Here we go. Here it is.
Here we go. James Hunter there, Sunderland writer for the Chronicle, the Journal and the Sunday Sun.
Yeah.
We've all got one and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio. Your fan station.
There you go, a bit of Tiger Woods.
Yes.
We are going to be talking about his PGA. I just make a mention, just got a tweet in from the Eton Manor Rugby Club. I did this corporate event last night in the old Eton Manor. We've done gigs for Eton Manor. It's got a massive history around the East End, and it's still going. It's sort of 50, 60, 70, 80 years on.
Yeah. Any more? 90?
No, it is. Cause
60, 70, 80, 90, 100.
Well, I think the club went in and out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's an old club.
It's a really old club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That supported football, rugby.
Didn't I get really drunk there once? And
yes,
get,
you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
You always get drunk.
Landed up in hospital, didn't I?
I think you did.
It was from there, wasn't it?
I think it was. and it's still got a wonderful history, and it's still going. They've just got some funding from the RFU. And it was a great gig last night at Twickenham. So just big shout out to the Eton Manor Club.
I've got to do it. I'm dying to do it. Eton Manor!
Eton Manor! So that was Paul Weller, wasn't it?
Yeah, Eton Rifles, yeah. So I have to do it every time you mention Eton Manor.
And a big hello to... we could get him on the show, Brad Barrett, who's the Saracens captain.
Hello, Brad.
So we did the gig with him
last night. We're both going to interview him then.
We're going to get him back on. he's fantastic. But we're talking a bit of USPGA.
Yeah.
We're joined by Matt Cooper, golf writer. A bit of a shame. We was all expecting Tiger to get in amongst it, weren't we, after the first day, and it's not really happened.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's perhaps there was so much excitement after the Masters, and he didn't play between the Masters and this week. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of that was down to the fact that last year in his comeback, He played a lot in the summer, and then when he got to the Ryder Cup, he just looked physically and emotionally absolutely spent. So he's trying to manage his time this year, and maybe he should have put a tournament in between. He looked a little bit rusty yesterday.
Although
on the back nine, he started like a train, and then it all fell apart again.
What about, we've got to talk about the performance from Brooks Koepka yesterday. I mean, did it make Wood's performance look a lot worse than it actually was? Or was it just a poor day? For him,
I think that's a really, really good point, because if you only have to look at the score, the leaderboard. Koepka's on 7 under, Danny Lee on 6 under.
Yeah.
The next best is Tommy Fleetwood on 3 under.
Come on, Tommy.
So Woods was only like 5 shots off that, and those two guys at the top had utterly astounding days.
Right.
So I think the next couple of days will be quite telling, because there's a good chance that they performed well above what's going to be like the standard, and they could come back to the field a little bit. The alternative is that Brooks Koepka has been an absolute monster in major championship golf for the last few years, and he could just keep his foot to the floor.
This is a really long course, isn't it? So it favours the big hitters.
Yes.
But there again, Tiger's not that short, is he?
He's not that short, but there is a tendency. If there's a weakness in his game, it's when he gets the driver, he tends to be a little bit wild. When he's at his very, very best, he can negotiate with that. But it is a bit of a problem. It's strange. The course is long, and it's also the conditions have also sort of added to that. The fairways were quite soft, so players who don't carry the ball a long way weren't getting the ball out there. It's probably going to be quite breezy today, and it's going to be dry for the rest of the week. So that means the course should harden up a bit, which will help.
A bit more length.
But the very fact, it's interesting. Koepka is a known big hitter. Danny Lee actually spoke after his round yesterday and said he's found a lot of extra length in the last year, and this is the first major where he's had that yeah. in his armoury, and all of a sudden he's up there. So length is a factor, it seems.
Yeah, and what about Tommy Fleetwood? Obviously, Tommy Fleetwood's at 3 under. I mean, he's still even 4 shots off the lead, but he's second.
But I don't think Tommy will panic. He's he had a great. I was up in Southport last week where he had the British Masters and he hosted it, and that was like a real feel good week because like the community absolutely adores him. The sort of the British and the European golf community adore him. He's like a folk hero to a lot of people over here. Americans love him actually. That's another thing. He's chasing his first major championship glory. I think he'll be feeling quite content at the moment. He'll have had a lie-in this morning. He can get ready to contend this weekend. And he's also quite fortunate that he picked up a bit of a virus last week, and he's said that he's definitely all clear from that. So I'm expecting quite a nice little challenge from him over the weekend.
And what about Rory? It's not bad, is it? But it's just nothing. There's no fireworks coming from him at the moment.
No, it's the frustrating thing. I mean, it's frustrating for us to watch it, but that must be nothing compared to what it is actually experiencing it himself.
Yeah,
he made a pretty clumsy bogey on the first, never really recovered from it. The good news is he made a birdie on the final hole.
On the last hole, yeah.
That'll put a bit of pep in his walk this morning. But he'll need it. It's so frustrating because he's been playing really well this year, but didn't play very well at the Masters. Hasn't kicked off too well here. And it's like he's currently in this. He's inspired by the Stoics, who are like ancient Greek philosophers. And it's all about like if you know, don't be frightened of the obstacles. You know, beating the obstacles is a challenge. And look, you know, stay patient. He seems at the moment to be testing himself as much as he possibly can with that by putting himself down the eight ball.
Is that the new psychology? I mean, we spoke about it. We've had a few psychologists on the show recently, and they all seem to be tapping into this now, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, but there's a, I can't remember. I think it's The Obstacle is the Way. It's a book that's been written by a guy in America, very popular with American footballers and NBA guys. Rory's picked up on it from that. And he's definitely, he keeps saying how he wants to treat every week like a normal week, because he's had difficulty like peaking. This is the strange thing with golf. It's a sport where they play every week of the year, but just 4 tournaments really matter when it comes to your legacy. Well, it's quite interesting. Last week, Rory finished first on the Sunday Times Rich List of Young Sportsmen. So he's like, he's got £138 million fortune. But yeah, the thing that really
it's
matters
not bad,
for
is
him
it?
is, it's not bad, but the thing that really matters for him is finishing number one in the majors, and also his total of majors is going to determine his legacy, not how much money he's got in the bank. And it's really strange. He turned 30 at the start of this month.
Yeah.
And he's actually gone 5 years without winning a major.
Yeah.
Which is, it's strange, because that tells you in one fell swoop that 5 years is a really long time to have a major drought as a top-class golfer. But to have achieved all of that by the age of 25 shows you just what a brilliant talent he is. So it's quite a dilemma, and it must be frustrating for him.
Yeah, agreed. Strangely, just going back to that psychological book, I've got a similar one to get me through some like 2-foot putts, and it's about free mind, and you imagine just picking the ball out of the hole. That's what it tells you. It's as easy as picking the ball out of the hole, and yeah, it's made me worse.
listen, Matt, before we let you go, we're running an Elton John theme because Watford are in the FA Cup final tomorrow. What's your favourite Elton John song?
I tell you what, am I right in thinking that Pinball Wizard was sung by Elton?
Yeah, certainly Tommy? Was. Yeah. And so, absolutely the best version too.
Yes, but This is perfectly timed. So at Royal Birkdale 2 years ago, Tommy was again the big hero in Southport. Mm. I rewrote the lyrics for Pinball Wizard Tommy Fleetwood.
Wow. Did you really?
I will tweet those to you straight after I get off.
Would you please do that, and we'll read them out, and we'll try and sing them in the style that you've done.
Well, I had a late gig last night, and I'm struggling with my voice today. So that's fantastic.
No, that'd be great. So I'll send those straight on.
Please do. Yeah.
Brilliant, Matt Cooper there, Pinball Wizard. I mean, what an iconic video that was, John. Really, because it was. From the movie, with The Who, wasn't it?
Are you telling the truth?
What, the Pinball Wizard?
Are you telling the truth? Because coming up, we're going to be talking to Darren Statton, and he'll know if you're lying.
Well, I thought I was.
He'll know
the
if you're lying.
Well, I thought I was.
He'll
telling...
know
I
if he'll I was know telling if the you're truth. Lying.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
There you go. Yeah. We're running. I'm not sure what that was.
You're a liar.
Yeah. Oh, God. There you go.
I thought we was
going on the Elton John thing.
Nah, you're a liar.
I was expecting Pinball Wizard to come back in.
You could have had Liar by Queen as well.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Listen, just before we do this, give us a call up until 1 o'clock, 0208 70 2558. Tell us your greatest Elton John song, what it means to you and the reason why. FA Cup tomorrow, Watford are playing Man City, Elton John can't make it, so we're playing some of his songs. Okay, changing it now, John, obviously we've been talking a little bit about the Jeremy Kyle situation in the last few days, and the show has been scrapped, and they did have the lie detector test on the show.
Well, let me just say there was an audience member who was there. It was at the taping of the show, and she described Stephen as Stephen Diamond, who unfortunately took his own life, as appearing as though he were a rabbit in the headlight. he applied onto the show numerous times.
Yeah, apparently.
We're not entirely sure. But after failing the lie detector test, she recalled that Stephen looked completely dumbstruck as he sat on the stage floor. So what I'd really like to know is how accurate are these lie detector tests? And joining us now is,
Darren Stanton.
Darren Stanton. It was a human lie detector. Darren, explain a little bit more about what you do.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
Yes, good afternoon.
Obviously, I don't use polygraph. I use other psychological techniques, which I'll kind of touch upon. But this idea of a lie detector, there's actually no device that's ever been invented that actually detects lies. It's just something that it's been labelled. So a polygraph, it goes back to the early 20s when it was invented. So it's getting over 100 years old.
Yeah.
All it's really measuring is the body's physiological responses to stress. So when people are strapped into these machines, basically they put a blood pressure cuff on your arm, because the idea is that when you lie, your blood pressure is going to go up. They put a sensor on your finger because the idea is that your pulse is going to race. And then finally what they do is they put a sensor on your hand to measure sweat and conductivity. So the idea is that you'll sweat, your blood pressure will go up and your pulse will go up. And what they do is they'll ask... Sorry, go on.
That's all it's based upon?
It's based upon three channels of communication. So the idea is that to get a baseline, they'll ask you maybe 30 or 40 questions, which we've already agreed are correct. So, your name, what you do for a living, where you live. So they used to establish a baseline.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it.
As these questions are fed in, so have you cheated? Have you stolen?
Right, then they start the juicy ones,
Yeah, they'll spike. That's the idea of it. But the thing is, I personally don't think that they hold much validity because, lots of people over the years have been proven to still exhibit the signs of apparent deception, but it's called a false positive. So, that's why none of these things are admissible in law or in civil law.
So some people can be really relaxed and can give off a false reading, if you like.
Well, if someone's very rehearsed, so if what they say is someone's basically got some sort of psychological disorder. So if they've got an altered state of reality because they believe something in their head to be true,
what will happen is
that the body will give off those signals that are consistent with what they're currently believing. So there are people that can kind of blag it, so to speak.
Just explain to me, Darren. You're a human lie detector. Tell us more about that. What is that? Is that like the program Lied to Me? Do you remember with Tim Roth?
Yeah, but basically that's kind of what I do. So essentially, I've got a background as a police officer. I've trained as a psychologist. So what I do is I look at the person. So for example, one of the main applications I get used for is sitting in on job interviews, sort of like very high paying jobs, maybe in Canary Wharf and things like that. And for companies, it's all about minimising risk.
Yeah.
So when people are being interviewed or on these assessment centres, I'm just sitting there, not specifically looking for lies, but, you know, looking at how the candidate performs in terms of body language overall.
I see.
And obviously, if this person is then being deceptive in certain parts of the interview, there'll be not just three things that will show up, there'll be maybe like 8 or 9 different changes in behaviour. So it's a lot more accurate. Well, I believe it's a lot more accurate than a polygraph.
Okay, so with the Jeremy Carl show. By the way, what is your take on Jeremy Carl, the Jeremy Carl thing? What the Jeremy Carl show as a show?
Well, believe it or not, I was actually going to be working on that show, and in the end, I declined it. The thing is about that. I mean, I'm actually be on the set when they've been filming it. It's a frenzied atmosphere while the audience are coming in. I mean, I kind of equated it to the Coliseum. You know, evolved from that, really. So you've got this frenzied audience and all of these people sort of, you know, wheeled out on stage. And like most people, I've watched the show at home, and a few of the times I've watched it and I thought to myself, well, I don't believe this person's done it.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, the line catches as they have.
Gotcha. Right, yeah. So we're in this audience member who was in the audience when Stephen Diamond was doing it. Was that his name, Stephen? When he failed the lie detector test. And she said he looked absolutely, like, he turned white. He was dumbstruck. Do you think that possibly it was the lie detector wasn't the truth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's good enough being on national television, and then obviously you've done it. So you've been, you know in your home that you've cheated or you've stolen or done something.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I've said, because I've done quite a lot of interviews this week, and what I've said is, if you imagine that you're on stage in front of national television and you know in your heart you've not done something, and then you've got this test which has given so much validity, you know, how would you protest your innocence? You know,
right.
How would you think that would impact on you?
Okay.
So it's catastrophic, really.
So finally, just to ask you, do you think it's the right thing to get rid of the Jeremy Carl show?
I do, to be honest with you. I think, you know, the polygraph, it's not an accurate thing, and hence why, you know, the police are not allowed to use it, it's not admissible in any sort of court or anything like that. So I do believe that ITV have made the right decision.
Gotcha. Good. And, finally, just on a lighter note, favourite Elton John song?
That's a good one. Rocket Man, probably.
Oh, Rocket Man. Well, we've had that one, so go on. Second favourite.
Second favourite. put me on the spot. Probably Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind. There you go. Darren, thank you very much. It's a fascinating insight into that. And, cheers. We'll have you back on. Don't want you back on the Calling Us Liars, though. Darren Stanton there. He's a human lie detector. We're coming up, I think. Tell us, Ben, what have we got?
Coming up, we've got Alex Reed
is
going to join us and talk to us a little bit about the Carl show and some reality shows and a bit of the MMA cage fighting as well.
Absolutely.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to Bell and Sperling. We have a bit of entertainment news.
You're lying.
Am I lying?
I can tell. Yeah, you're lying.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure you're lying.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we had the lie detector man on.
We did. Darren Stanton, fascinating.
It's fantastic, isn't it? But listen, we've been talking about Elton John.
Yep.
What's your greatest Elton John song?
He needs us to talk about him, doesn't he?
I think he does.
He needs to. He needs the publicity.
0208 70 25 58. We've only got a few minutes left. We've got Alex Reed coming on very soon to talk to us about what happened to him on the Jeremy Carl show. What sort of what sort of aftercare you get at some of these shows, you know. And
well, Darren Stanton just said that he was very pleased that it's been taken off the air.
Was it really?
Yeah, because he said, you know, that it's not accurate enough.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not accurate enough. Yeah. It's just, you know, on here people can manipulate it. They can, you know, it's. I've always said that.
I did say that to you. I said it's based on your pulse rate.
Your pulse rate, yeah.
Okay. And
you can manipulate all that.
You can manipulate it. And I think that's what it's done. And you could effectively, I could hype up my pulse rate and I could answer the same questions.
Right.
And I could, even if they said, you know, I mean, I should tell that story. I'm probably going to tell it Monday, actually, because we haven't got enough time. We ran out of time. We've got to get David Oldsworth. We've got Alex Reed coming on.
Alex Reed,
but I want to tell that story about Bobby Davro when he got me, when he interrogated me.
Oh, it was very funny.
He interrogated me and he got me to answer loads of questions.
He said, yeah, at the end.
It's just where he smacks me in the face. it is one of the funniest. In fact, do you know what? I think we might do that. On Monday, we'll try and get... Bobby Davro on to actually do that live. We're now going to talk all things showbiz with Cecilia Snowball from Entertainment News.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Is it Cecilia, isn't it?
It's Cecily.
Cecily. Sorry, Cecily Snowball. What a great name, Snowball.
Cecily Snowball.
Thank you very much.
Jeremy Kyle. What's the latest on that?
Yes. Well, as I'm sure you both know, it's quite a sad one for TV this week. Jeremy Kyle announced on Monday that they were sort of suspending the show indefinitely while they sorted out, you know, what happened with the guest who passed away last week.
Yes.
But now the show has been cancelled outright, no more after 14 years. And it's now MPs are now looking into reality shows as a whole. So Love Island involved, everything like that. It's all kind of kicking off for reality shows, really. It's not been a great week for ITV.
Right. Well, you know, it's a tough one, that, isn't it? I mean, you know, you could say that they sign up for it. They go in for it. So, you know, it's all fair play. But anyway, listen, that's going to be an ongoing thing. BAFTA TV Awards.
Well, it was quite a big award show on Sunday night.
Yes.
And Eve picked up 3 awards. So they won Best Drama, which is arguably like the biggest award they have.
Yeah.
Leading Actress for Jodie Comer and Supporting Actress for Fiona Shaw as well.
Wow.
What a fantastic show that is, Killing Eve. I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to see it. How different is that?
Do you know what? I've only watched the first episode.
Yeah, so
I have yet to be wowed by
me
it.
Me too, Cecily. I know it's. I know
Listen,
that it's meant to be
You
very
will
good.
Be wowed by
wow,
it.
Wow, well, there
believe
we go.
Me,
Daniel Craig hurts himself. What's happened there?
Well, so he was. So filming on the latest James Bond film has been, was suspended, presumed restarting next week after Daniel Craig hurt his ankle. So they're all off in Jamaica at the moment. And he apparently fell awkwardly while sprinting.
Yeah.
Well, he's about 72 years of age now.
He's only my age.
He's quite old for a Bond now, don't you?
What is he, 52?
51, I think.
Oh, right. Same as me.
He's the same as you.
Okay. Yeah, but all right, listen.
He looks great.
He's still lean and fit. What I don't understand is when he done the photo shoot the other day with the 4 young girls, they looked like his granddaughters.
No, they did not.
Don't you think? It's a bit odd.
Well, he kind of, almost kind of looks like he's ever so slightly bored by the whole thing as well.
Well, But he's been paid about 90 million, isn't he, for it? Yeah, no, he's paid a lot of money.
Yeah, so he was flown off to the US after hurting his ankle by apparently the same guy who looked after Harry Kane.
Right.
So hopefully it should all be sorted out. Apparently next week is going to be the week that they come back to filming.
Yeah.
Apparently Daniel Craig sort of furious at the whole thing because obviously he spent months getting ready for this film, you know, toning up, making sure he's ready for it. And now now we've had to halt it once more. So.
Yeah. Poor old Daniel. My heart bleeds for him. listen, Cecily, last but not at all least, my favourite, Doris Day, passed away.
I know.
She was a wonderful artist.
Wait a minute, she was what, 98?
97.
97,
there you go.
But she's still when I was growing up, I mean, Calamity Jane, I mean, I could go for a list of my favourite films.
She hadn't done anything for what, 30, 40 years?
1972 was her last.
There you go, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But she's very active, though, in the animal world, wasn't she, Cecily?
Yeah, she did. So she had her own animal foundation and they kind of of, you know, worked with adoption and animal agencies around the world, and she was obviously very close to that, to her heart. They were the ones who actually confirmed that she passed away on Monday. I've actually read from her, well, her manager, Bob Bashara, has actually said that she won't be having a funeral or any kind of memorial service, because it was written into her will, because she never really liked the idea of her animals passing away, so much so that she wouldn't like that sort of thing for herself. Yeah.
Of course, you know, she had a troubled life as well. I mean, her son died. Her husband, like, ripped her off in the late 60s. Just before he died, she found out that, you know, he'd been ripping her off. She had a very, very sad time there.
Yeah.
But there we are.
Yeah.
Cecily, thanks very much for that.
We get some more time. We've got Alex Reid coming on straight after this.
Cecily, quick.
Okay. Very quickly.
Favourite Elton John song?
Rocket Man, why not?
I actually
saw the film for the first time yesterday.
We should have talked about that.
I know. Sorry, last minute thing.
Let's get you back on Monday,
Cecily, and we can talk about it. Is that okay?
All right. That's great.
Is that all right? Thank you. Cecily there.
Cecily Snowball.
Cecily Snowball from Entertainment News.
After this, we've got a little bit of Alex Reid coming on the show.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to Bell and Sperling Show. Obviously, we wrote that song and it was a massive hit, but we wish we'd have written an Elton John song and had a bit slightly bigger hit. We're talking about Elton John today. Give us a call, 0208 70 2558. Tell us your favourite Elton John song. He's not going to be at the FA Cup final tomorrow for Watford.
But his sons are. Who are big football fans.
Big football fans.
And they like girls.
And they like girls. Don't we all? Okay, listen... We have been talking about the Jeremy Kyle show and shows like that, reality shows, and what sort of care you get on going on these shows afterwards. But I know Big Brother is a big one that we all follow, and you know, to be locked away for a few weeks, it must be quite strenuous.
Quite
emotional.
I would like to be locked away for 2 hours.
You wouldn't be anywhere, would you?
No.
And we're now joined by Alex Reid. Who obviously went on a couple of these shows.
Yeah, he won Big Brother, I think.
What was that like, Alex? Listen, afternoon, mate, first of all.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Love Sport Radio. Mate, that's the catchiest tune. Right, hello, guys.
Hello, Alex.
How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, can hear you good.
So I'm talking in a car park in the middle of Peterborough, sunny field.
Yeah.
We're just about to do some fireworks. It's a bit crazy. I'm doing firewalk master training course, as you do.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
But while I'm not doing that, I have been known to be a celebrity. It's funny because when they ask about who we are and stuff, I don't really like to use that term. I'm happy to be celebrated for having accomplished things, but not to my salacious sex life. To go and win. And listen, I didn't just go on Big Brother.
Yeah.
No, you won it.
I am quite proud of it. I got the highest vote ever in the history of Big Brother, being 40-1 odds to win. I got 69% of the vote.
I remember 20 million people.
I was getting. What? Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a great achievement.
I remember watching it. You were Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie and Dane Bowles.
And as you said, it was emotional because that's his line, isn't it?
That's his line.
You know what? Vinnie was love eight. He was like, excuse my language. Who the hell? I was going to say something.
No, you didn't. No, thank God you didn't.
Yeah.
Is this nobody? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I should be in here with superstars. And I'm like, got bloody Alex, bloody Reid.
Yeah.
But it really was a love hate. He was a bit of a bully.
Yes.
And then I'm so glad that the editors were kind to me. And I don't know if they were kind to me. They saw my true character.
Yeah.
I could be misconstrued. And anybody can be. I'm an ex-paratrooper. So we're larger than life. You're trained to do a really nasty job and expected to go back into society.
Sure.
So we live life to the full, and we can be a bit improper. There's not a nasty, malice, vicious bone in my body, but we say the most inappropriate things. You can see how I've got in so much trouble.
Yeah.
So someone like Vinny, I was like, he loved it. He bullied the hell out of me. And then one day I switched. I'm coming in, you summit, you see you next Tuesday. Let's have it. And thank goodness they didn't have that. And the thing I saw, the bully became really nice to me.
Yes.
I thought, that's not nice.
That's often the case, isn't it, Alex? What was the sort of like the production team behind? Did you get any aftercare afterwards
They were actually quite stringent. I was quite impressed I've obviously got some marbles because they gave me a full medical healthcare check, psychological healthcare check, and I went to see a psychologist afterwards. And that whole experience was really weird for me. I mean, I always wanted to be famous,
yeah,
but never, like I said, having accomplished stuff. Mm. And all of a sudden, I'm thrust in. I'm in the papers all the time. I call it. I wasn't on LSD, but it was like, I imagine. I call it the LSD years. Life was weird. Yeah. I was on the front cover of papers all the time. It's just surreal. It's even weird now to think I was part of all of that madness.
Yeah,
and still am to a certain degree. Well, yeah. I mean, I've been on the paper a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I still am, unfortunately, for negative things. But there's a lot more positive stuff. That's why I'm trying to avoid the celebrity. I'm all right if it's good.
Yeah.
But often you can't turn it off. And you've got people like Mike Philassis, and they don't know. They've got no career. I've got a career to fall back on. I'm an actor and an athlete. So at least I've got something to give me integrity and credibility.
Yeah, we've often spoke about some of the guys that go into Love Island and some of these things. They get thrust into the fame for 10 minutes and then the next breed come along and there's no substance to back it up. What was your experience like on the Jeremy Kyle? You did a bit of that, didn't you, Anna?
Well, yeah, and listen, I turned it down several times and I have what we call sycophantic agents, managers, PR people in your ear telling you, I don't know if you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings films, there's a king and he gets twisted by someone called Wiser Wormtongue. It was like an evil sort of dwarf. Anyway, I had all these evil dwarves telling me what I need to do, but ultimately just trying to line their pockets.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got so-and-so said this about you. You've got to go and say something back. I'm like, yeah, if you don't, it's going to be terrible. So you end up saying something back and creating a bigger storm than you wanted in the first place.
Yeah, what was he like, though, Alex? You found Jeremy Kyle was okay, wasn't he?
No, he was actually reasonably pleasant. I mean, I wasn't being disparaging about him. I always thought he was a bit cheeky the way he has a go at people. And
yeah.
it doesn't surprise me at all what's happened. I mean, it's very sad. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I always said that, yeah.
I felt myself so low from all of this horrible stuff. He was actually reasonably pleasant, and I thought the show we did was actually okay.
Right.
The only thing is, it's still Jeremy Kyle, and everybody, there's such a stigmatisation in society about Jeremy Kyle. I generally feel people look down their nose on me for having that period of my life when people even say now, why are you talking about it? You've got money. Yeah, I've got money. But I wasn't doing it for the money. I was trying to ultimately to get money to provide for my family, but to get myself out of a bigger hole. Mm. You know, I wasn't doing it for the money, but people say, even now, why are you talking about it? Why? I'm like, well, what's it? That, I don't know what that saying is. Walk a mile in a man's shoes and then comment.
Yeah.
Or the other one, look at Jeremy Kyle. He wasn't exactly... He's been known to have a few.
I mean, he had gambling problems, and of course, his wife.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get all Jesus on you, but I'm not a religious person. But I mean, it's a apt quote. He has never sinned. Throw the first stone.
Yeah,
right.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Just very, very quickly, Alex. What are you doing now? Just so we can.
Well, other than firewalking, I'm an actor. I've just did two plays this year. One's moving back to London, Die, Mummy, Die. I'm in pre-production for a couple of films.
Brilliant.
And I'm just starting a boot camp because acting is feast or famine. And in the famine, I can do fitness. So I'm an ex-squaddy. I do my martial arts. And so if anyone wants to come and check out my boot camp in Mill Hill, Bootcamp UK, baby, check out my Instagram, Alex Reed Official, and you'll see all my stuff on there.
Wonderful. We shall post it up.
Favourite Elton John
favorite
song,
Elton
Alex?
John song.
Yeah.
What's that Pinball Wizard? That's not him, is it?
It's him.
Yep.
And we haven't played yet. It was someone else's favourite, and we haven't actually played that yet. There has to be a twist. Yeah.
There you go. We'll get it played. Alex, thanks for joining us, mate. We'll definitely get you back on the show at some point. We'll talk about MMA fighting.
Thanks,
and
Alex,
like that.
For being so honest and lovely. Cheers,
brilliant,
mate.
Alex Reed there, former winner of Big Brother and obviously on the Jeremy Kyle show.
Yeah.
So Alex said that, you know, he found Jeremy Kyle quite pleasant.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure he was... listen, that was a different kettle of fish, though, because Alex Reed was on as a celebrity. And not someone that you go, you know, what are you talking about, liar?
Yeah. Well, Alex said
different thing.
Alex had teeth, for starters.
Alex had teeth.
You know?
Yeah. You know. Who have we got now, Bill?
Well, we're coming up. We've got David Oldsworth.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's Watford tomorrow. Watford are playing against Man City in the FA Cup final. Elton John is not going to be there.
No.
And we're joined by my old mate now, I used to play football with. He was 10 times better than me, which is why he ended up why he ended up at Watford and Sheffield United. David Oldsworth. Big game tomorrow, Dave.
Favourite Elton John song Thursday?
Favourite Elton John song, David?
Definitely. I would say your song.
Yes, a great.
Oh, what you mean, Sven? Oh, sorry. I see what you've done there. We'll put that down. Your song for David Oldsworth. Big game, massive for them tomorrow, isn't it?
Huge. It's a huge occasion for obviously Watford as a town as well. It means so much to the people there. They've grown and grown, and obviously going up against the likes of Manchester City is never going to be easy, is it? But it's going to be a wonderful occasion, and I'm sure it'll be a very colourful occasion as well.
They'll come home heroes, whatever, I think. Don't you, David?
Yeah, they've done magnificent to get there. You know, they've had a great cup run. And again, turning out at Wembley, it's wonderful for Watford and for their supporters. So I hope it's a great occasion.
Yeah, what about De La Feu? Because we were talking about him earlier. You know, he's sort of... They bring him on, and I think he's such a gifted footballer. You'd start with him, surely.
We had this conversation earlier in the season, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's sort of an enigma where he goes on, and obviously it extremely changes the game. So obviously the manager, he knows his capabilities, but sees him as a sort of a touch paper that he can, ignite a game and really bring something from the bench. It's really the timing when he comes on, to be honest, guys.
Yeah. It's funny because he got the goals in the semi-final against Wolves. And we were saying about this, actually, Johnny asked a few people the other day about, like, Lucas Moura. Would he be left out because Harry Kane's come back? Would he be left out in the Champions League final? Yeah. I mean, you'd be gutted, wouldn't you, Dave?
What a decision that's going to be. How do you leave somebody out?
Yeah.
That's the tough one. I think he's got to start him, surely.
Yeah, that's what we said. You've got to start. I mean, you still don't know whether Kane's going to be fit anyway, really.
Well,
but,
if he's only 50-50 or 60-40, then you bring him on, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
As I say, you can't leave the player out, surely.
Oh, wouldn't it? You'd ruin your career, wouldn't it? Just talk to us a little bit about Sheffield United, Dave, because they've gone up. I know that you've got big ties there. You had a wonderful career there. It's fantastic for them, isn't it?
Yeah, great. The city's buzzing. Oh, well, half of it is the other one's in mourning.
Oh, I bet.
There's plenty of jokes going around now as well regarding this investment that's coming through a long-lost cousin of Bin Laden, I suppose.
No!
Someone made up.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, that's a bit of a weird
one. It's quite funny, actually. Some of the banter up there is hilarious at the minute.
Oh,
but no, the fair play to Chrissy Wilder and... everybody concerned at Blades, really, because it's a fantastic club, Martin. It really is.
Yeah.
Great supporters, brilliant people. And it is a great city. So, as I say, one, the red side's certainly smiling at the minute.
Yeah, I agree. I know that you told me how great that your time was there. Just nipping back to Watford, are you down for the game? Are you going to the game tomorrow?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I'm down. Wembley twice this weekend. I've got the... going to see the Orient on Sunday as well.
Oh, you're going to go there, are you? Yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, my was everybody's second team, wasn't it?
Do you know when
we were growing up, boys?
You're so right, Dave. It was the first match that I ever went to see. My dad took me to see Orient. I think I must have been about five. I think you're right. It's everybody's
second team.
Everybody's, well, around our area.
Yeah.
It was our second team, wasn't it? Yeah.
Just quickly, Dave, obviously you was at Watford when Elton John was there quite a bit. A quick Elton John story or a great moment with Elton?
Yeah.
To be fair, Martin, I had some. I've got some great memories. I remember one of the most touching ones. I ruptured my cruciate ligament and in a game there, and I was in hospital in the Bupa at Bushy.
Yeah.
Next morning, big bouquet and a hamper comes through the door, and the phone call rings, and it was Mr. Elton John on the phone, and he's, wishing me well. A great guy, amazing person, and. Obviously, it's quite funny, really, when you think about it. He's celebrating all of his time, and he's got his new film out this week, so very touching. But great man, and obviously well-respected in certainly at Watford and all over football.
Without a doubt. David, wish you all the luck. I might meet up with you for a beer later on this evening if I can get away. Yeah. Listen, it's enjoy the weekend.
Please.
Two appearances at Wembley.
Wonderful.
And we're wishing Watford all the luck in the world.
And I tell you what, if Watford win, Dave, we'll have you back on Monday. Yeah. And we'll celebrate together. Brilliant.
Lowdown.
We'll do that.
Terrific.
Lovely, guys.
Wonderful, wonderful. David Oldsworth there, former Watford Sheffield United.
And his favourite was Pinball Wizard. Been the Bell and Sperling Show. Bell and Sperling on Love
Sport Radio. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.